This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
That's right. This is Money in Motion, brought to you by Klaus Financial. KlausFinancial.com is the website. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. These segments are sponsored by Klaus Financial. You can call in to the show with any retirement questions at all at 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. Joining us here this week, I know Steve joins us by phone, and CJ Klaus in studio. Gentlemen, welcome.
How are you?
Good morning, Mike.
Yes, great to chat with you both. And I should mention that we do our Klaus Quiz Question of the Week coming up, and the winner to that at 815-877-8440 wins a $25 gift card to Kohl's. So we will ask that question towards the end, but the answer to that question will be given throughout the show as it develops. And I know we talk about the importance of understanding where future retirement income will come from. Gentlemen, can you give us an idea of what that looks like for different people? Future retirement income.
Now, that's a great question, Mike. We always, in the past, said that for most people, they end up with either like a four or five-legged stool for retirement. Social Security is one of the areas that you hear us talking about on a regular basis for most people. Also, retirement accounts such as 401ks, Roth 401ks in today's environment, IRAs, 403bs, many variations of the retirement accounts. Also, it's important to have what we call non-IRA or personal savings and other investments for some flexibility of creating that income during retirement. In the past, and to a lesser degree today, some people still have pensions, although they are much fewer than they were before. And lastly, the fifth leg of that stool for some people is actually continuing to work during retirement. For many, that may be because they want to stay involved, active, they enjoy their job. For others, they just want to shift gears and prefer not to work anymore. So it many times, depending on that individual situation, could be anywhere what we call from a three- to five-legged stool in today's environment.
Well, and I'll add to that, what we're finding now is that the legs of these stool, there's less legs to these stools. So it used to be four or five legs to the stool. Pensions were very common, Social Security, obviously. And now for younger generations, they're looking and saying, gosh, I probably only have three legs to this stool, and one of those legs is pretty shaky. And that leg being shaky, of course, is Social Security for those that are under the age of 50. Now, quick myth buster here. A lot of times we have people come in who are maybe 55, 60 years old, and they say to us, hey, I don't count on Social Security. And our comment would be that we haven't seen any legislation introduced in terms of changing Social Security for anybody over the age of 50. So if you're over the age of 50, it seems as though Congress and the president don't want to touch Social Security in terms of changing it for you. If you're under the age of 50, that's where you could see Social Security or your future benefits being changed. Even then, if you really understand it, we don't think it's going to go away. We just think it could definitely be tweaked for some people. So the theme here is that more responsibility for your future retirement is falling on you. Right?
Less
government dependency here, because pension plans are kind of a thing of the past unless you work for the state or the federal government, which is kind of funny.
Right.
And Social Security is a little bit shaky for those in terms of what the benefit would be if you're under the age of 50. So people kind of go, well, what does that leave me with? Well, that leaves you with you. That leaves you with you. What are you doing to build for your future retirement income?
Now let's say that you've got this four or five-legged stool, and it is maybe just three. You're not getting a pension. You're not going to continue to work. So you're talking about retirement accounts, personal savings and investments, and Social Security, and you are counting on Social Security, maybe not to take care of your entire living and the costs of it, but some of it. If I start taking Social Security someday, let's say, and I'm counting on it, will I get annual raises to that Social Security?
Great question. It is not guaranteed that you'll get an annual increase. Let me repeat that. It's not guaranteed that you'll get an annual increase. Now, it tends to increase. There's what they call, I should back up. There's two forms of increases on Social Security. One is while it's in deferral mode, meaning you're not pulling. So between the ages of 62, which is the earliest you can draw, all the way up to age 70, while it's in deferral mode, there's what are called DRCs, delayed retirement credits. And those are somewhere between 7 and 8% per year increases while you wait. But once you start drawing, whether that be at 62, 66, those DRCs stop. So those 7 to 8% increases stop. But you could get what are called COLA increases, cost of living adjustments, which is basically an inflationary adjustment. But for anybody who's on Social Security right now, I'm sure they're stammering to call in right now to say, yeah, but I didn't get an increase. That's exactly right. You didn't get an increase this last year because as they looked at inflation factors, they didn't feel there was enough inflation to justify raising your Social Security benefit. Now, what's funny is your Medicare costs will go up, but your Social Security income will not. So you'll get a net decrease. I apologize, folks. I don't mean to laugh about this. I just think it's funny the way the government runs these
programs.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane how you can have these increases in your costs on things like your medical payments and Medicare. But Social Security is not guaranteed to annually increase. But it generally is sort of in step with inflation, right? Now, I know we haven't had inflation in a while. It's not been astronomical. It's one of the reasons that if, let's say, listeners are listening right now and they are on and they're receiving Social Security, they haven't seen major raises every year.
Right.
In fact, Mike, after over the last 7 years, the average cost of living increase has been actually less than 1% per year on average over the last 7 years. So it has been very muted.
Right.
So if I have various income sources, we talked about these legs of the stool. How do I know how much I can take so that I don't run out? Whoops.
Oh.
I think we've lost Steve.
Sounds like we lost Steve.
CJ, maybe you can handle this one. Yeah, how do I know how much I can take, from the various income sources to make sure that I don't run out of money before I die?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is probably the number one question we receive, or I should say it's the number one fear that retirees have, right?
They'll run out of money before they die.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so developing a systematic approach to creating that income stream is very critical. Now, there's different rates that people apply, and different advisors have different formulas for this, but anywhere between 4 to 5% is what you typically will hear from advisors in terms of a distribution rate. So to put that in terms that our listeners understand, you have $100,000 and you pull 4% a year, that's $4,000 a year throughout retirement. And of course, the question is, well, CJ, can you guarantee that'll last me the rest of your life? And the comment is, no, I can't. Even if you buy, by the way, an annuity, which does create guaranteed income, that guarantee is only as good as the insurance company themselves. And so this notion of, well, I need guarantees, it's like, well, is Social Security guaranteed? Kind of. Are your pensions guaranteed? Well, as long as the company remains in business. So the distributions from your portfolio are no different. And that 4 to 5% seems to be a good range, but that does not mean that an advisor can, kind of stamp on your paper and say, guaranteed, go sleep at night really, really well.
Right.
Because for the next 40 years, even if you live to 120, you're not going to run out of income. That's not the way it works. So we have... go ahead.
Excuse me, I was going to say another point even with regard to trying to keep up with taxes and inflation as well, is that really your liquid bucket of money that you're drawing that flexible income is for the most part, your only option. Because as you pointed out, TJ, with many of the annuities that might provide a guaranteed lifetime income, they typically won't go up for inflation. Right. And as we just mentioned a minute ago, Social Security, while it's geared to many times, really doesn't go up by all that much either.
Right.
We are speaking with CJ Kloss and Steve Scow from Kloss Financial. This is Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. We will be right back going over some more things, including asking the Kloss quiz question of the week. Don't go anywhere.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, yes, yes. This is Money in Motion. joined this week by CJ Kloss and Steve Scow. These segments are sponsored by Kloss Financial. That's KLAAS Financial. For more information about Kloss Financial, go to KlossFinancial.com. Before the break, we were talking about the different stools of retirement, the different legs of the different legs of the stools of income and retirement. What about taking income from other investments? You mentioned, Social Security and having some sort of IRA or whatever. What about other investments like non-qualified annuities or cash value from life insurance policies as income? Can they be legs of the stools as well? Is that a good idea to take money from those products?
TJ, why don't you talk about that one?
Yeah, so this is a great question, and we get it quite often. People come in with past products from other advisors that they want us to take a look at. It might be a life insurance policy that was what we call quote-unquote overfunded, meaning they put more into it than was required just to cover the death benefit, and so it became a cash savings vehicle. And granted, I respect every insurance agent's thoughts on this out there, but we don't love this strategy. It is a way to, potentially for some doctors, it could make some sense, and that's kind of a separate issue. But when it comes to creating retirement income off of a life insurance policy, where it can become an issue is that you generally, not always, but you generally have to take loans out of that cash value, so it becomes loaned money. Now, again, sometimes the interest rate can be enough to cover the loan interest rate, but if you ever can't maintain that life policy, so you need too much cash out of it, and then they suddenly call for another premium, and you can't afford that premium, and the policy lapses, then you can get clobbered with all kinds of taxes, because growth inside of life insurance and or after-tax annuities is tax-deferred, which, of course, we like tax-deferred growth, but the problem is when that payday comes and suddenly the policy gets canceled, there can be really big tax ramifications. So I think I should just say, it's not that it can't work, it's just you have to be really cautious whenever you start bringing life insurance or annuities into the equation as it pertains to retirement income. We would prefer to see people keep things simple. In our minds, simpler is better. As a matter of fact, Michael, you've heard us talk about this kind of three different things, which is consolidate, simplify, diversify.
Again, yes, consolidate, simplify, diversify. We've heard that before.
Yes, so it's just
can't be emphasized enough.
It really can't. It's something that we just kind of want to preach out to the community. Consolidate your investments into singular platforms. Simplify by doing that, and then diversify on that platform. So certainly we're not saying put all your eggs in one basket. We're saying put all your eggs on a platform that allows you to trade and diversify your money. So just really cannot emphasize that enough.
So bottom line, it does not make any sense whatsoever to retire without a sort of plan on taking your income, right?
Very, very true, Mike. You know, that's one thing you do hear us preach about again on a weekly basis is having that written retirement plan, and especially with retirement. As I point out to everybody, you only have one retirement, so having a strategy that you can adjust and be flexible enough with it, as CJ is pointing out, from the standpoint of liquidity with your dollars, the ability to adjust your income as needed, even different types of buckets of money where you have retirement money that's maybe before taxes, but then maybe you've accumulated some non-IRA money where you've already paid tax on the principal, but the interest is growing. So that, again, you have different way or different types of money to be able to pull that income from. Again, even as we were mentioning with regard to systematically withdrawing income, you know, as CJ pointed out, we always hear people, biggest concern is I don't want to run out of money, which is understandable. And at the same time, most people would also probably say they don't want to end up with a ton of money left over that they never really used either. So it is providing some balance. And that, again, is where I think that retirement written strategy comes into play. So there's a plan. There's a game plan. And we act as coach and quarterback for our clients to help not only create but also implement the plan and adjust as the years progress.
Well, and Steve has talked about this on the show before, but we call it a dynamic income strategy. So as it pertains to your income, the key to making sure you don't run out is making sure you have a way to modify that income stream if the market changes dramatically. So as the market changes dramatically, you need to have an advisor who says, hey, we need to make small tweaks on your overall income so that as you get later in life, we're not running out of money. It kind of goes back to that arbitrary stamping of saying, all right, I'm going to give you whatever the number is, $40,000 a year for the rest of your life from your portfolio. The question is, how can you guarantee that?
Yeah.
And you can't. You can't guarantee that unless you're dynamically adjusting the income and the clients understand that. So that's a big piece for us.
At this time, we are going to ask our class quiz question of the week. And if you have the correct answer to this and you're the first person to call, 815-877-8440, that's 815-877-8440. That's the number to Class Financial. You can win a $25 gift card to Kohl's. Love Kohl's. I shop there all the time, one of my favorite clothing stores. The question of the week is, are monthly Social Security benefits guaranteed to annually increase? This is a binary question this week. It's either a yes or a no. Are monthly Social Security benefits guaranteed to annually increase? 815-877-8440. Call Klaus with the correct answer. First one to do it gets a $25 gift card to Kohl's. And, you know, I was thinking about this, Steve and CJ. Retirement, all these different things that we should be planning for. You know, if you have children, you're thinking about their college, you know, funding that. And you have about 18 years or so to come up with that plan. You, if you're early on in life, or maybe you're planning to buy a home, you want to accumulate some money to put as a down payment. But retirement, it is the final stage of your income sort of life, and you do have a lot of time to plan for it. But it does make a ton of sense to start that planning sooner rather than later, for financial reasons other than just getting your ducks in a row reason, right?
Yeah. That date creeps up on you, as Steve will tell you. You know,
yeah.
We meet with many people around the age of 50, and many of them come in and they go, all right, you know, I've been working for 20 years now, and it's finally time for me to start saving. And we go, ooh, man, if you haven't done anything up till now, I mean, we're happy you're meeting with us at the age of 50, but it can be difficult because your time is running out. So you're exactly right, Michael. The earlier, the better. And ultimately, you know, building a plan towards what you're going to end up needing becomes pretty critical. Steve, anything to add to that?
Very true. Very, very true. I've met very few people over all the years when they come into retirement that actually have too much money. Typically, it's always, I needed more. That's where that savings comes into play, definitely. The earlier, the better.
Well, yeah. And I just want to, if we have a couple minutes here.
Yeah, we have about a minute or so.
Okay, I just wanted to add, there's a couple important birthdays over the age of 50 that I want people, I'm going to try to run through these real quickly that I think people should try and pay attention to as it pertains to aging and getting closer to retirement. So there's the age of 50, and that one is, at the age of 50, if you're over 50, you can actually contribute more on a pre-tax basis to your retirement account, whether that be a 401k, 403b, or 457 plan. And that has to do with what they call the catch-up. At the age of 55, there's this really small unknown provision called separation from service after the age of 55, which I encourage people to Google this. But it's basically if you decide to retire at, say, 56, 57, but you're not 59 and a half yet, if you leave money inside of your corporate retirement plan, you can actually make distributions from that without a penalty, even though you're not 59 and a half yet. Again, it only applies to your corporate retirement plan, does not apply to your traditional IRA. But this is a piece sometimes we see people use who want to retire between 55 and 59 and a half. They don't want to have to wait till almost 60, but they also don't want to pay penalties on their retirement account distributions. And then finally, 59 and a half is another important one. There's a few more after that, but I know we're running out of time here. But 59 and a half is the earliest you can draw from your IRAs without a penalty, again, assuming that age 55 provision does not apply to you. So
those are important dates. And if you have any questions at all about this, I encourage you to go to klassfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. CJ and Steve, thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. See you next week.
All right. We'll be right back on the Michael Coolidge Show. Hour number two coming up after this. Don't go anywhere. No.
This is Money in Motion with Klass Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Klass Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Klass Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klass Financial.